Tuesday, March 7th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report on the grains. It was 67 degrees on my pickup thermometer on the way home Monday afternoon in light scattered rain. The snow we had gotten is already gone. There are green shoots on plants close to the office door. Unseasonably warm temperatures are causing cherry blossoms to bloom early in Washington, D.C., as well as peach trees in Kentucky, blueberries in Michigan, and apple trees in many states to blossom, making them susceptible to a freeze. Above normal temps in the Northeast caused as much as a 50% decline in maple syrup production, which requires colder nights. It was good that the Kentucky poultry operation that tested positive for bird flu got it as geese flew north instead of south for the winter, as warmer temps should limit the transmission of the virus to other poultry operations. The groundhog seems to have gotten confused, as there is no sign of 6 weeks more winter. It would appear that we have had more potential for a wet spring than a dry one. There is rain in the forecast for drier areas of the Delta. In Brazil, the soybeans were coming out early, so the corn was going in ahead of average, 75% planted versus 68% last year, which is important for the performance of the second corn crop. Truck traffic was starting to move again along the flooded BR-163. Crop analysts have been increasing their corn and soybean production estimates for Brazil, and USDA will do so Thursday. The bulls are hoping that USDA also boosts their soybean export estimates in the supply-demand update, taking something off the carryover. Still-serving Iowa Governor Terry Branstad covered the tracks of the White House pretty good, saying that no executive order changing the RFS RIN enforcement was approved by President Trump. I did not agree with how Renewable Fuels Association CEO Bob Dineen handled the engagement with the White House, but I do believe that White House officials told him the order existed. I don't think that Dineen lied. I agree that Trump had never approved it, likely never knew the entire episode happened, which simply means that it was engineered by Carl Icahn, pushing his influence at the White House. The effort to change the RIN obligation got shot down. Okay, how about the E15 vapor waiver? Did Branstad think to tell them that they needed to go forward with that? This is something that the White House should and could follow through with if they are truly telling the truth about their support for ethanol. The biodiesel credit switch is a more remote prospect, as I don't believe, given budget stress, that Congress will authorize it. We will trade the biodiesel credit for more military spending. We have to ask for the things that don't cost money, like the E15 vapor waiver. U.S. crude exports are starting to get more notice since the ban of U.S. oil exports was lifted over a year ago. U.S. refineries are capable of refining heavier oil, so import that type of oil. The end of the ban on exports allows U.S. light oil, which Europe likes, to be exported. The Saudis' reduced oil output in the U.S. makes up for the shortfall. The gas war started by the Saudis is not going all that well for them. They did not break the U.S. shale oil industry as they had intended. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. The grain and soy markets are being underpinned by fund buying on breaks. They have soaked up the selling for the last few months as fundamentals appear bearish. There is some deja vu to 2016 in that. There are a number of reasons that demand has remained strong and U.S. exports have used up most of their USDA forecast with a lot of marketing year ahead. There is currency and reinflation demand. There is also the desire to build inventories and get purchases on the books given trade and tariff risk. The initial response to the potential trade risk is to buy more as a buffer to what may be less favorable terms later. There is a seasonal potential in these markets yet. The question would be what it would take to get funds to liquidate, because until they do, it'll be hard to get extended breaks in corn and soybeans. I think they remain in a buy-the-break mode. FC Stone expects Brazilian soybean production of 109 million metric ton and total corn production of 93.3 million metric ton. Soleres is at 109.6 million metric ton for Brazil. CONAB is out along with USDA on Thursday. The average trade guess is 105.95 million metric tons for USDA Thursday. USDA was at 104 million metric ton in February. Brazil raised 96.5 million metric ton a year ago. USDA may boost Chinese demand 2 million metric ton, but so what? The trade looks for 87.78 million metric tons of corn from Brazil. They produced just 67 million metric ton a year ago. China is reported reducing their corn imports by a million metric ton, but it would not have come from us. They had been importing some corn from Ukraine. Opposite of a year ago, South America is having a favorable finish to their production season. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.